Okay, I'm not going to mention your name for this recording. I want to just say a couple of things about the study first.
Okay.
I want you to understand that the study has been reviewed and cleared through the Institutional Review Board at Buffalo State College.
Which is in my backyard.
Oh, okay. Keep in mind that if you are not comfortable in answering any question, you have the right to say that you don't want to answer that question. There's the risks to your participation are no greater than those that you would experience day to day. However, potential benefits include improving the understanding of the motivations and hesitations of using fun in teaching statistics. Your participation is completely confidential. I'm going to take notes, but I do not have your name on the sheet that I'm using, and I will make sure that that is in a locked cabinet in my house, but no identifying information on that piece of paper, so you will not be identified in any way with the notes or your responses.
Okay. Yeah, I can't imagine what I could say that be that.
Right. Well, I understand, but just to make sure.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, we just have a list of a bunch of questions that we got together and came up with. So some of them in the beginning is just some background information about your statistics course or courses that you teach.
Okay.
How many do you teach each semester?
Usually three.
Okay. They are an intro course or advanced statistics?
Combination.
Okay. Are they typically required of the students?
For
their majors or?
The more introductory level courses are usually required. The more advanced courses are not.
Okay. And the more
sometimes
advanced,
there's something that's chosen to fill a requirement out of a group of possible courses.
Right, right. That makes sense. And the more advanced courses are more for engineers, math, science?
Mainly math majors.
Okay.
We're just starting a statistics minor, and so hoping to attract some students to do some of those courses for that reason.
Oh, that'd be good. Do you teach online or mostly in a classroom?
I have only taught in a classroom.
Okay.
Next semester, I am going to do what I think people are referring to as a blended class.
Yes. So that's a combination of in-class as well as online?
That's right, yeah.
For your in-class courses, what is the typical class size?
The introductory classes are usually between 35 and 45.
Okay.
And the more advanced classes are usually anywhere from 5 to 20.
Okay. Let's stick with the intro classes for now. What kind of age distribution do you have in a typical class?
Almost entirely traditional college students, 18 to 22 years old. I have, I think, one older student this semester.
Okay. What is the typical gender distribution in your class?
I have, actually, my general intro stat is overwhelmingly female this semester.
Okay.
I have an intro course for science majors, mostly bio and environmental science majors, that's fairly 50-50.
Okay.
And I have a beginning statistics course that requires like calculus and so forth for mainly math majors. And that's probably 60-40, more female than male.
Okay. And so I guess you answered that already, and you had a question about majors. What's the typical majors that are in these classes? So I'm guessing the math stats would be mostly math students?
Yeah, mostly. And it's really not a math stat class. It's I don't know if you're familiar with the Chance Rossman ISCAM book, not the workshop statistics, but the one that's a little higher level. So it's really introductory statistics. It's not theory, although we do have a couple of things.
Okay.
And then the other the science majors is mainly biology, some environmental science, some geoscience. And then the more general one, I have actually, and that probably the biggest group in there is is elementary teachers. And in New York State, they have to have a concentration in a subject area.
Okay.
And so those with a concentration in math. So I have probably about 16 of those.
Okay.
Out of about 40 students. Business, a little bit of exercise science, a little bit of speech pathology, some maybe a computer science major or two, a variety.
Okay. Let's start with the intro class then, since there's a wide variety of majors. What about, can you comment on the ability, the general typical ability level of those students?
We haven't had a test yet this semester, so I'm thinking back to previous semesters, and I would say it varies widely.
Okay.
And there are people... There are people who do quite well and seem to catch on quite easily, and there are others who are struggle a lot with it.
Okay. And what about the other stat class as well as the science one?
They're probably a narrower group and generally. Generally better students, although the one for sciences is really very similar to the general one. It's just mainly the examples and so forth are more focused.
Okay.
But they tend to catch on, I'd say, a little quicker to things. The one for math majors, most of the time they don't. Most of the time, it's a matter of effort, and if they put in the effort, they do okay. Interestingly enough, sometimes some of the bright math students that love the really abstract stuff are the ones that just can't get into this.
Okay. Well, do you know why do you think that, why do you think that is the case?
Well, I think it's it's that they love the abstraction and that this is and they like the sort of neat this is exactly what's happening. If this, then this, then this kind of idea, and that it's kind of messy.
Okay.
I mean, the book that I'm using is a lot of data analysis and dealing with data sets and not the more mathematical aspects of statistics.
Okay.
And which there are certainly students who would like that better.
Right.
It's not a lot of probability, so I think they just like they like the black and whiteness.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Then, because that fits into the next question we have about the interest level. So let's stay with that science class.
So that was the math one.
You're right. You're right. What is the so the interest? I'm trying to think of how to word this. The interest level of these students taking statistics. You're saying to me that some of them have difficulties because they rather the more certain, like algebraic manipulation kind of things, but because this is more interpretation, they...
Well, or more, not really algebraic, kind, but more like the more theoretical, the proofs, the geometry,
okay.
The... and because this is more, it's messier. And that there are also students who took calculus, liked calculus, went on, got into the more theoretical math courses and are like, when did this happen? And are like, finally, I'm seeing something that's more problem solving.
Okay.
Kinds of stuff. So I see both kinds of students in that class, students who are like, finally, this is what I've been looking for, and other students who are like, no, this isn't, you know, take me back to something more theoretical.
Okay. So take me back to something more of proving, like a derivative rule or integration or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. What about the interest level for the intro, the general course?
That varies widely also. I would say that there are students who are, oh, this is cool. I never liked math because it didn't seem to apply, and I can see how this really applies to where I'm going and what I'm interested in. And other students who are just, you know, get me through this.
Right. Okay. Okay, so that gives me a sense of your classes a little bit. Now I want to get into actual types of fun.
Okay.
We talked about modalities in this study of fun group. A modality is simply like a category of types of fun. But before I talk about the modalities, have you tried any types of fun already in your SAT classes?
Well, it depends on what's fun.
True.
One thing that I have several of the ASA t-shirts.
Okay.
And so, you know, so we were doing regression and I had wore my friends don't let friends extrapolate t-shirt.
Right.
And so I think that my thought is that that's kind of a fun way of making a point about something.
Right.
Right. And we do a lot of activities in class. Data collection kinds of things. We always do something with candy. And so it's, you know, it has, it's not funny.
No, but that's...
But I hope it's a little bit fun at the same time as making a point.
Yes, and we would call that in, we would lump that into a category called games.
Okay.
I agree that they're not necessarily funny, ha-ha, but something that would be fun for them to participate in and still learn something from it.
Yeah, I try to do various data collection activities, and they paper helicopters. We drop paper helicopters and some of those kinds of things.
Okay.
So I haven't done much with things like comics or songs or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask Ness is to go through these. So there's four different modalities that we have listed here. Though our website, the Cause Web, does have additional kind of categories. So the first is poems and songs. Have you tried anything like that?
No, I can't. A couple of times, not very much. When there's been like a YouTube video,
okay,
I've shown something like that in class, but I'm a horrible singer. And so, and this is kind of a music school, so the last thing I'm going to do is start some kind of song.
Right.
And I guess time is always tough.
Right.
So that I don't know if I get enough out of that kind of thing. And a poem could be something. I hadn't really thought about that. I'm not really a poetry person, I guess.
Right.
Although, you know, a fun poem could be fun. I guess that's probably what's going on is that's not what kind of piques my interest.
Okay.
And so I probably haven't explored it much.
Okay. What about cartoons? So you already suggested that you don't typically use cartoons.
I've used them a few times, and it's really, I think it's actually can be a good thing. And sometimes textbooks have them, and I've pointed them out. Most textbooks don't have much that way.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, I have got a couple from yellow ones that I've collected from newspapers that say something about, like, lotteries and so forth.
Okay.
I know the Cause website has a lot of them.
Right.
And, frankly, I just haven't taken the time to really go through them and think about them.
Okay. And you've already suggested that the last category that I have listed here is games, and so that you do some of those kind of activities where they do collect data to understand a particular concept.
Yeah, I do try to do a fair amount of that.
So you would do more that kind of activity rather than all the other kind of categories?
Yeah.
When you use these, let me stay with the activities then. So when you use these activities in class, how do you set that up? I mean, is it for a particular chapter, section? Do you start off with that before a section to get some concepts, thoughts, ideas that the students start thinking about, or do you do it at the end to tie it all together? How do you present those kind of activities?
I'd say I usually do it at the beginning, and partly because a lot of times what I'll do is have them collect the data, and sometimes I'll have them enter it into my computer in the front of the classroom, but most of the time I'll take data sheets and enter them myself, and then come back to them in the next class.
Okay.
With the data in the computer, and then so then we can talk about it, and use it more as an introduction to what's going on. I think in large part just because of logistics in terms of getting the data in the computer and not spending a lot of class time doing it.
Okay. Now, do you do this for what type of material, more basic kind of concepts or the more advanced kind of concepts?
I would say I probably do it more as the material gets more advanced. I try to do it, like, for an intro class with tests of significance And the helicopter dropping one, I like it because some of them have helicopters with long wings and some have short wings, so they can do a two-sample test, but then they each drop it twice, once with a paperclip and once without. And so that's a paired difference. And so one of the things they have trouble with is understanding the difference between paired differences and two independent samples. And so then I'll go back several times and say, as they ask about that difference, and I'll say, okay, you remember when you did the helicopters? And you remember how your long wing helicopter wasn't, your time wasn't related to anybody's short wing. But your long wing with the paperclip was related to your long wing without the paperclip. And so I hope it helps.
Okay. And do you do that kind of activity throughout all three of the different courses?
I do. The textbook I'm using for the math majors has some of it built right in. They do some simulations, and they suggest some activities. There. So that's pretty built in.
Okay.
I don't do a lot of other ones just because we run out of time. I do a little bit.
Right.
And then with the other two classes I probably add more of I was gonna say my own activities, but they're totally stolen from other people.
Right. We all do that.
Yeah.
Now, does this activity work better in one course versus another?
I don't think so.
You seem to hesitantly reply to that.
Well, I guess just because I'm trying to think. I never thought about it.
Okay.
And I don't think so.
So you mentioned about class time being a kind of restraint on using a lot of these kind of activities.
Yeah.
So how often would you say do a data collection activity in a semester?
I'll probably do 5 or 6 in a semester.
And are they spread out through the semester, or are they more toward the end where you do tests of significance?
Probably more towards the end, but a few things earlier in the semester, a first day of class survey kind of thing. And when we start into regression, I have them, like, measure heights and arm spans, and
okay.
And they're not very good at measuring each other, so we can talk about accuracy and measurement and
which is really important, especially in the sciences, where you do precision,
mm-hmm.
the reproducibility of some kind of a measurement.
Mm-hmm. And I bring a few people up to the front of the room and re-measure them, and they're embarrassed, and then I say, but it's not your fault, it's your group's fault, because they didn't measure you very well. And,
right.
And then we talk about, okay, if I re-measured everybody in class, would these dots fall better, closer to the line, and so forth? And they're like, yeah. I'm kind of glad that they don't really do that good a job, because
true.
It gives me the chance to talk about it.
Right. That makes sense. And so when you do these activities, it seems like they take an entire class time to work on them, and then you discuss more the next class period?
They probably don't usually take the whole period, but they might take 20 minutes or half an hour. Some are shorter than others.
Okay. And so so would that be something that you would start at the beginning of class and do that activity and then talk about it afterwards, like you suggested about the measurements?
No, probably what I would do is have them do the measurements towards the end of one day.
Okay.
And then come back and start with the data in the computer the next class.
Okay.
And talk about it then.
Okay. Now, out of, and I think you answered this already, and I'll have to check my notes, but out of all those different modalities, you seem like, again, you use the activities more often.
Yeah.
Why are those, and you said you do about five to six data collection activities throughout a semester, a typical semester. So why do you use those activities? What do the students get from that that is so important for you to use those?
Well, what I hope they get is an understanding of connecting the statistical techniques that they're learning to actual data.
Okay.
And seeing more of the full process.
Okay.
And sometimes that's what they remember from the class.
Sure.
It also, I'm hoping, can help them understand some of the distinctions that we're making about when we use one procedure versus another.
Okay. Have you, as you work with these, have you found some of these activities more effective than others in helping the students understand the concepts?
I think probably that I, you know, there are things I've tried and said, oh, guess I'm not going to do that one again. And some are easier to do than others. For a while I was having them dissolve chocolate chip cookies and count the chips.
Right.
And that's messy.
Right.
And so I kind of, when I started dropping paper helicopters, I quit doing chocolate chip cookies. And it was easier to sort of organize and carry the stuff around and so forth. One I've done recently is having them take Hershey Kisses and almond Hershey Kisses and comparing proportions that land on their base when they shake them up. And, you know, that worked pretty well for me the first time I did it. And I don't know if they've changed the almonds. Maybe the almonds aren't as big of almonds as they used to put in or something. And I haven't been getting as much difference recently. Or maybe my students aren't shaking them up right. I haven't figured that out. I'll probably try it one more time, but I'm getting a little bit leery about that one.
Right. Now, so obviously you're giving me a sense that how the students react to these activities. Do they react? How do they really respond to the various different activities? Are they? You said that at one point that this is something these activities are something that they can they typically remember later.
Yeah.
Are there any other ways that it affects what the students, how the students react to that particular activity or any activity?
Well, I think typically they enjoy them. It's a little different than a typical day in class. And if there's candy, they always like the candy. I think it sort of just makes one day a little bit different than the others. In terms of, they usually comment that they like them, but not necessarily because of the statistical points, but because of doing something different.
Okay. Now, you suggested that that you have a shirt that has a humorous statistical...
I have a few shirts that
okay.
have... Yeah.
Now, when you wear those, what would the student reaction to those be?
Well, they're slightly amused. They don't get overly excited, but and sometimes though on an exam or something, when I ask a question about something, they'll quote something back to me from one of those shirts.
Okay. So it does. They do remember, recall.
It does, yeah, draw their attention to something.
Now, is that a large majority, a few? Can you give me a sense of that?
I would say a minority.
Okay.
But enough that a noticeable group.
Okay. So the other, let me talk some more about some of the other activities, the other categories.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about your activities and how you fit those in. You said you do maybe a couple cartoons cut out of the newspaper. You have a couple of shirts with, you know, some humorous statistical sayings on them. Are you open to try more, say, let's start with the cartoons in the class?
Yeah.
So what would be one of the things that prevent you from doing that?
Probably one, not thinking about looking for stuff. And just finding the time to sit and look at cartoons and figure out what I should be showing up to class with.
So you mean finding an actual cartoon that deals with statistics? Or
yeah.
Where that statistics would fit into the curriculum?
Yeah, so it would be like, okay, you know, I should be looking at these and seeing what would be good to use, and I probably just don't get around to doing that.
Right. So so part of it would be a time issue of just being able to look for that stuff. Because
right.
I would imagine that you are looking for, say, a comic or a cartoon for a particular concept at a particular time, say, hypothesis testing, and just trying to search through everything, as opposed to, say, a general statistical kind of comic that you would look. When you're searching for something, you're going to look for that particular concept in the course. Does that make sense? What I'm asking? I don't even think it makes sense to me. So when you're looking, suppose you're looking for a cartoon. You say, I want to try some more cartoons. Would you look for just generic statistical cartoons and then fit them into the curriculum, or would you look for a particular concept, say hypothesis testing? And find cartoons that dealt with just that concept.
Well, I think, I mean, it certainly would be possible to just look through some cartoons and look for some things that looked like they would fit into, say, an intro course and kind of have a pile of them.
Right.
Ready to go.
Okay. What about the category of jokes or humor, such as the shirts? Are you more open to trying more of those kind of?
I really like the shirts, and So whenever I see a good one, I'll buy it. I'm not good at telling jokes.
Okay.
So I kind of avoid it because it kind of oftentimes falls flat.
Okay. So you think that you're not good at telling jokes. Is that because of the delivery of the joke or?
Yeah, I think I'm not good with the delivery.
Student, you're not sure that students are going to really understand the joke, so you, I'm not sure what I'm going to say there, but, you know, are concerned as you're going through the joke whether or not they're going to grasp what that means, or, but you immediately said, yeah, that's the, you know, the delivery, so you don't think that you deliver the joke in a way that would be efficient.
Yeah.
Do you think that you could learn a different way or improve your delivery of a joke?
Probably.
What do you think that would entail?
Probably practice.
Okay. Okay. Practice for your own practice as opposed to maybe seeing other people delivering those kind of jokes?
I think, well, seeing other people would help, but I think I would need to practice.
Okay. The last kind of activity would be poems and songs. You already suggested that you are hesitant in singing due to the nature of your institution.
Well, and more my voice than anything, but.
Okay. Would you have any plans to attempt to do something like that in your class?
No. I could see, like, showing a YouTube video.
Okay. I think that's just as well as part of this. It's not necessarily you doing that, but including some other buddy, someone else doing it is fine, I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought of maybe having students performing the songs?
Not really. I think mainly because I, in terms of their time.
Okay.
And wanting them to focus their time a little more carefully on actually the material.
Okay.
Not sure that would help them that much in knowing what we're doing.
Okay. Okay, I understand. But finding something that is already done on YouTube would be an effective use of both your time as well as the student's time, and just being able to listen to that.
Yeah, I'm thinking something that's, you know, pretty short and so forth, and that I think could be well worth the time.
Sure. And then, well, and also finding them, I guess. I imagine that would be something very similar to the cartoon.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Being able to have the time to search through and find those kind of activities.
Yeah.
Do you do any of these activities for the students outside of the classroom? Whether it's an activity or... Well, I think that's mostly what you use. Do you point them in the direction of a cartoon or a joke or something like that outside of the class, like for homework or anything?
No, I've never done something like that.
So So all the work that you do would be inside the classroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one thing, and I don't know if it's considered fun. I didn't really think of it that way, but you have a pretty broad definition. I used to have them make concept maps
mm-hmm.
in the math major class.
Okay.
And some of them got very artistic in doing that. Basically having them, you know, trying to get them, forcing them to organize their thoughts about what's gone on in the semester. But some of them got very creative and involved and artistic in what they did. When I switched books and we got into doing a lot of data analysis and so forth, I eliminated that just because I had enough other things I was asking them to do that I didn't really feel like I could continue to ask them to do that.
Right. Okay. So really, I guess, as I'm looking through my notes, a lot of it is really, it seems like time.
Yeah.
Time from the student's point of part of whether they're doing a data collection activity or a concept map, or your time trying to identify appropriate sources of fun to use.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be, so it seems like to me, as you keep coming back to that, that might be one of the hesitations you have in trying to use additional sources of fun.
Yeah.
Do you think there are other hesitations that might prevent you from adding additional types of fun into the classroom?
No.
So what they are? What are they?
No, I don't think I would have other hesitations.
Other than the time, and then for the poems and songs, maybe the performance.
Yeah.
Well, actually, in the jokes is the delivery, so the performance would be the two main hesitations in using.
Yeah.
Types of fun. Okay. I think that is all the questions. I just have, I guess, one last question is,
are you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No worries. Can you provide any other thing that you can think of in terms of your motivations in using fun activities in the classroom? Anything that I might have forgotten to ask, or we haven't come up with a question to ask? Can you think of anything additional that might help us?
I don't think so.
All right. I think that is all that I needed. It's all the questions that I see that are here. So I just wanted to, it's 10 till the hour, so I've taken 50 minutes of your time. So I just wanted to thank you for your time in allowing us to collect this data. If you have any additional information, or if you want to about what we're trying to do, there's an email that I can give you if you have any additional comments or questions about this research.
Okay. I shouldn't just, reply to your email?
Absolutely, you can do that, too. Absolutely. So we can just do it that way. If you want to
okay.
Be live, if you have any comments, any thoughts, if not, that's fine too. I will enter your name into a drawing for a $25 gift card.
Oh, okay. I'd forgotten about that.
And I wish you luck with the selection. Hopefully that you will get that. And I think that's all.
Okay. That's been interesting. It actually made me think about things that I don't necessarily spend a lot of time thinking about.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are this way. You know, I didn't start thinking about this until I started becoming involved with this group. And there's a lot to this, and it's pretty interesting of what is out there and what can be done.
Mm-hmm.
So my eyes have been wide open, you know, by what my colleagues are doing. So we're hoping that we can help more people use activities that could assist students in understanding statistics.
So, good.
Yes. Well, again, I thank you very much for your time. And if there's anything I can do or any other questions that I can answer, you can just email me.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.